Hello, I'm Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Today on Personally Speaking, I'll be joined by the actor J. Omar Castro, who will talk about the effect his parents' divorce had on his spiritual life and why he developed a deep devotion to praying the rosary. After that, I'll be chatting with Raina Sladek about a project he's helping to spearhead that will build a Catholic secondary school for girls in a poverty-stricken area of Ghana. Please stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking, brought to you by the Catholic Communication Campaign of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti. J. Omar Castro is an actor you may recognize from his work on various television programs like Without a Trace, CSI, or The Young and the Restless. But he's also a man who has traveled a winding road away from and then back to his Catholic faith. He now draws special strength from the Rosary, which he discusses and prays on a DVD called Rosary Stars, produced by Family Theater Productions. The DVD also includes many other actors and athletes discussing their deep devotion to this powerful prayer. To tell us more about his personal journey of faith, I'm pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking, J. Omar Castro. Hello, J. Omar Castro, and welcome to our show, Personally Speaking.
Thank you, Monsignor. It's a pleasure to be on with you this afternoon.
Jay, I want to ask you, before we talk about your involvement with this wonderful thing called the Rosary Stars DVD, I want to know a little bit more about you and your background. On the DVD, you mentioned that your parents divorced when you were a young boy and that the experience initially pushed you further into the practice of Catholicism. Now, that's interesting that you'd go further into your faith in the midst of something painful like a parental divorce. How did that happen?
Well, growing up, you know, I'm the youngest of three brothers, and yes, my folks, they did split when I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And that said, I had just transferred to a Catholic parochial school at the time in the second grade. And it was great because it was just a great resource growing up. And just when I started discovering different facets of my faith and how I fit in, not only in that school structure, but how the faith played a greater role in myself in child rearing and growing up. And that said, they just had some great resources there, whereas I did delve deeper into my faith into trying to discover and find different things. Quite frankly, my senior, a lot of the answers didn't come until years later, but and some are still out there for that matter.
Right.
You know, that said, it was just a great beginning to a wonderful journey thus far, and the seeds haven't been planted at that point. My mother, she worked terribly long hours, then as she continues to just stay busy. I think it's just her nature, work ethic, and that she has. And that said, the that left a lot of time for me to be involved with extracurricular activities there at school, and some things to kind of find out on my own, and some things by the examples of my brothers. And that said, the one thing that she really tried to do and worked very diligently and hard to, and with some assistance from the school system, nonetheless, and from St. Edward the Confessor School where I attended, is to try to keep me there, knowing that it was just a great resource, especially considering the circumstances.
We are talking to J. Omar Castro, a wonderful young actor, and he originally comes from beautiful New Orleans with a background that makes him Honduran-American. He's been in 9 feature films, and we want to speak in a little bit about his film, Rosary Stars DVD. But something you said on that video that I was struck by, because it's not unusual at all, certainly in that age group, you said that as a young adult, I left the Catholic Church out of frustration that my prayers were not being answered in the way that I thought they should be answered. Once I started to grasp the bigger picture and that it's his plan and not mine, I returned. And praying the rosary, you said, has a way of putting whatever is going on in my life at any given moment in perspective. That's a major lesson to learn, that it's about his will, not necessarily ours. But how did you come to the point where you could surrender to that? Because people live their whole lives, Omar, and they never come to a point where they can say, okay, thy will be done, and I mean it.
Yeah, you know, Monsignor, it's actually a work in progress, and it shifts on the daily basis. And when I say that, it's just when I feel no secret to you,
right,
I see.
Right.
I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard that. you know, on the daily basis, whether it's matters of the heart or comes to career or just even health and prosperity, there are different things that, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the fear of the unknown and just my experience growing up. And even then, you know, I put my focus more on the faith rather than the fear. And putting the focus on the faith, over time, I found the rosary to just be an exceptional tool, an invaluable tool to do that, recognizing that it's Christocentric, and just kind of put my focus back on the miracles, if you will, that I've had in my own personal journey to this point. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, people see me go, you know, I attend Mass regularly. Most recently, within the past few years, I actually try to get to the Adoration Chapel pretty regularly as well throughout the week, and just kind of feed myself spiritually, mm-hmm. and trust I'm where I need to be and in His perfect timing, and just trusting that everything's working out according to His will. And sometimes it's more challenging than others.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as a single young adult growing up and trying to stick to my faith and trusting that my faith, again, through my faith, that I'm right where I need to be. And sometimes, again, you know, it may contradict other things going on in my life, or maybe it may be reason for me to disassociate myself with mm-hmm. certain activities or different things that are ongoing and just part of growing up, I think. And, you know, as just you're very generous. I'm 35, though, my senior, you know, you're very generous to say young, but as a 35-year-old, you know, young adult, I say young adult, adult just trying to find my own way. That's the one constant amidst a wealth of change that I just trust will always be there. And whenever I start to doubt that, that's when I reflect on, again, the different ways that, you know, the Blessed Mother, she's never failed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally could say that, speaking from my own heart, that she's never failed me, just as so many others have their testaments of their faith. And I feel the same way. So whenever I come across a situation that, you know, I begin to doubt, or that fear starts to set in, you know, that's even more reason. And that's, in my own way, you know, I feel and sense that that's the time I have to grow closer to God and my relationship with God. And the rosary is just a great tool to do that.
Our guest is J. Omar Castro, a wonderful actor. And I want to ask you, many, many actors look forward to going on TV or in the movies to play military. You have an interesting background in that you have actually served your country in the military. So you're not only an actor, but someone who's been in military service. Do you remember, Omar, what went into your decision to, in many ways, surrender your freedom for the good of your country?
Absolutely. Coming through high school, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Monsignor, I'm the youngest of three brothers,
uh-huh.
and following in my eldest brother's footsteps, he joined the Air National Guard unit in New Orleans as a means to further his educational attainment, and they have a great GI program and tuition exemption program through the state of Louisiana, which works hand-in-hand with the National Guard there in the state. And so I was 17 years old, and not many days after turning 17, I went and met with a recruiter, and I signed my name on the dotted line, if you will, and it was great. Just, you know, it was duplicitous, one, to be able to serve my country and you know, something that I feel very fortunate. You know, the things that, you know, I appreciate on a daily basis, but that was an opportunity for me to try and give something back and contribute to a system that has done so much for me. But also, it was a means for me to go to college and pursue further things beyond the high school level of education.
That's great, and I'm glad you did. I think it probably obviously enriches your whole vision of what's important in life. And we live very much, Omar, in a culture that very often seems to be about overindulging ourselves. We eat too much. We spend more money than we actually have. Did your time in the military teach you anything about the concept of sacrifice and taking the long view for a greater good?
It did. I learned many things. I was 17 in basic training, and I remember very vividly my senior was a voting year, and it was an election year, rather, and
mm-hmm.
I wasn't old enough to vote, yet I was, you know, sleeping in barracks in basic training, and it was great. So among the many things that I learned is that, you know, you get out what you put into it, and
mm-hmm.
I recognized then that although I was there and and I wasn't able to vote at that time, I was still doing my part, you
mm-hmm.
know, to try and grow and contribute to the many wonderful things that this country has to offer. And that said, I mean, granted, we're in different times now, but that time that I was in, you know, whatever my commitments were, I was happy to fulfill them respectfully then. Yeah. And, you know, looking back on it, you know, as I grew in my career from, you know, having been in the military, I was in the military for a total of 7 years. And in retrospect, that's among the many things that, you know, I just sit back and not laugh, but I, you know, looking at the bigger picture, I'm like, oh, okay, it's all coming together now, at least in that aspect. Whereas, you know, I do have the pleasure of working in different military capacities on TV, and it's not a stretch from some of the things I was doing before as far as what's carried over from then to now. Mm-hmm. You know, I still wake up early, early in the morning, which is something I couldn't do then, ironically.
Yeah.
I do, and to date, you know, as far as, you know, the simplicities of how my shoes are lined up under my bed to, you know, the way that I pack and unpack when traveling is definitely something that was ingrained in me, and the attention to detail that was instilled or that I developed coming up through the military.
I want to thank J. Omar Castro for joining me today. We've run out of time, so Omar will be with me again next week to talk specifically about his involvement with the Rosary Stars DVD. Now, we'll be back with more of Personally Speaking in just a moment. Welcome back to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti. I am here on Personally Speaking with Rhinus Laticus, and I'm so happy to have him from Munich talking to us about a wonderful project. You know, many of us in the so-called first world know that we should be doing more for those in the so-called third world, but Rhinus works for a company or with a company called Hen Architecture, who have decided to specifically get involved with establishing a school in Ghana for young women, a secondary school that will help give them a leg up for their future. And Rhinus, could you give us some sense of whose idea was this? Where did this come from, this whole notion of education?
Well, first of all, you introduced the office, the architectural practice, Hen Architekten. And Gunther Hen, he is the owner of the practice. And last year, we had an anniversary, a 30th anniversary. And because of that reason, 30 years of experience, we've built a lot for science and education already on a commercial or professional basis. Mm-hmm. Gunther Hen had the idea that it's now time to bring in the expertise into something good, into something charitable. And we were convinced that a education project would be the most sustainable type of project where we could bring in our energy and our expertise. And my wife, actually, she's doing the communications for the foundation that we then initiated last summer. She had the idea of the name Education, because those who hear it might think of the word education, which is normal, but it's written in a different way. It's an ad, you, and a cation, like a cation, which is a positive part in the chemical world.
Mm-hmm.
That means everybody could do something to bring in something positive.
And, right.
That was the idea behind that game with the word education a little bit.
Well, that's terrific. And tell us, how did you come to decide that the work of education would be focused on St. Catherine's Senior High School in Ghana? Why Ghana, and why a girls' high school?
Well, actually, we were convinced that a school, first of all, would be the right type of project. And we thought Africa might be one of the most needing continents or countries. And a coincidence led to that project, actually. It was a photographer who we met on a business meeting, who just came back from Ghana. And Gunther Hen, he talked a little bit of the intention of starting a charitable project in the near future. And the photographer, it was Joachim Schmeisser, he accompanied for 10 days a group of medical doctors who went to Ghana. And he said that he was just introduced to a school project from the Catholic diocese run by the Bishop, mm-hmm, Kwame Adanuti in the Volta region in Ghana. And the bishop tried to start this project almost 10 years ago, tried to collect money, and he had to stop the project as soon as he started the building process.
Mm.
And we just saw a couple of pictures of a ruin of the foundations of a school project, where we had quite a good feeling of this project needs help.
Yes. For our listeners, Rainer mentioned the education, that's a good segue for me to say that for our listeners, please go online and just punch in addyoucation.com. And you see some of the pictures of the young people who would most benefit, who would be students at St. Catharines. They're beautiful, beautiful, joyous people. Isn't it striking to you, Rainer? I know it is to me, that even people without a lot physically have such joy in their hearts. Those pictures come across as very joyous people, even in the midst of poverty.
That was the very first impression that I had when I went for a fact-finding trip for the first time last year. I was really convinced by all the people that I met, of their strength and of their pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really amazed of the Catholic diocese's work there. They run kindergartens, schools, hospitals. I think they take care of about 45,000 children.
Wow.
In their diocese, which is really a lot. And what mm-hmm. was missing is a secondary school for girls, especially for girls, because
mm-hmm.
Girls and women are the ones who bring the power into the future.
Yes.
And if you compare projects all over the world, like the microcredit idea that you might have heard of,
mm-hmm.
It's always the women who take care of their families with a structural perspective. Like these microcredits, they are all paid back. I mean, it's like something like 90% taken by women, for instance.
Isn't that something?
It's a good example of how women take care of the family's future. And Ghana is a quite prosperous
yes.
country in Africa. And the diocese has a very strong hope for the future, and their energy is really amazing. And this was the impression that I had when I came there the first time, that if we help the project, we will help the whole region. And it's very, very easy for us to help these people the people that I met, because I was really, really very happy to meet all of them.
I wanted to ask you, we're talking with Rainer Sladek about his work with education in establishing a beautiful school for women, young women, a secondary school in Ghana. Now, I have to ask you, Rainer, I know many people in America certainly feel, well, I'd like to do something, but I'm never sure if what I give is going to get to where I want it to go. So how do you make sure that what you're trying to do stays pure, that it isn't corrupted by middlemen and people who sometimes keep good things from happening? How do you get the good to happen? How can you be sure that what we pour ourselves into in terms of our resources will actually go to help these young women?
Well, we've started to work on the redesign of the existing master plan for that school
mm-hmm.
last year. And in February, I went together with a colleague from Hen Architects. I introduced him to the diocese and to the local authorities. And since last February or the beginning of March, he is on site and he's working hand in hand on the construction site. He's supervising everything. He's taking care of all the money flow,
which
is only partially done or given by education. We are also controlling what else is happening on the site, because it is a boarding school. It's not just a small school with like two classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boarding school in the latest construction phase for 600 girls.
Mm.
That means there are a lot of buildings on a large scale site. And for the first construction phase, which should be finished this autumn, We supported financially the dormitory for 160 girls. Mm-hmm. And the diocese and some other donators are taking care of the dining hall and some of the houses for the teachers. Since we have a colleague on site really experienced and in cost controlling and in constructing and construction supervising, we can somehow guarantee that the money that we give is first of all donated in one specific building, and every cent or every Ghana city in this case is controlled by our member of education and member of Hen Architects.
I think Ryan is right on target. You have to be there and keep control, and that's what they're doing. Now, for our listeners, St. Catherine Senior High School will be a boarding school for girls, grades 10 through 13, where they'll learn English, integrated science, mathematics, social studies, ethics, and religion. And what's important about it being a boarding school, and I think this is so wise on their part, is if they stay home, they have the distraction of having to have many duties at home. By going to the school, they're just going to independently work at becoming the people they're supposed to. Also, they are better protected against unwanted pregnancy as a result of social ties at an early age in that culture, and of course, the great risk in Africa of infection with HIV. This was so well thought out. Would you say this is the brainchild of someone at the architecture firm? Is this the brainchild of that bishop you mentioned over in Ghana? Who came up with this wonderful idea to create a climate for women to grow?
Well, actually, it was an analysis that the diocese, that the bishop in the diocese did almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was based on some governmental analysis, and it was based on a private analysis that the diocese itself initiated. And they found out that it's so important that women, young women, have the possibility to go to a secondary school, because that's the only way of maybe studying later and bringing some more education and more expertise and where they come from. We think of maybe helping them later on once they finish their school, mm-hmm. In organizing maybe university places overseas or in Europe to ensure that they bring back to their region what they've learned.
That's wonderful. I want to ask you, too, if I can, Ryan, when you have a great idea like this, I'm thinking to myself, if every company, if every corporation in America, in Europe said, what can we as a profit-making company do to give back to those who have less than we do? If every company did what you did with education, the world could be a much better place. But in your company, where did this brilliant idea come from that we are responsible for others?
Well, actually, this idea came from the owner of Hen Architects, Gunther Hen.
Okay.
And because of the 30 years of experience and the anniversary, and maybe a situation that he experienced when he had Christmas in Egypt in 2008, mm-hmm. he must have had an impression of we have to do something. And we have a lot of projects at the moment, a lot in Asia as well. And somehow he had the feeling that with that profit that we made out of these projects during the last 30 years, someone has to benefit. And this is why we founded the education organization. It's something like a foundation. We call it a Verein, which is something different because it's governmental allowed to donate money and save tax by the amounts that you donate to the foundation, which is quite a good possibility for private people as well as for companies to donate money to a charitable reason and still profit themselves with a tax reduction, which is quite a good way from the government to support these NGOs.
Well, that's wonderful. I was aware through education, and for my listeners, again, to go online, education.com. Interesting fact, you were telling us that in Southern Africa alone, education is not an option for some 45 million children. And as we know, where there's no education, there's always going to be greater poverty and, of course, greater resentment and greater anger at one nation toward another. So in some ways, this is a wonderful first step that you guys are taking to improve the whole world. We can't take care of 45 million, but we can do what we can do to make the world a better place. So would you please, Reiner, for our listeners, tell them what can we do? For our listeners who say, I want to do something, I want to support this education, what can I do?
Well, it's very easy. If every little helps, and every little cent helps, and sometimes it helps already just to talk about it and to mention the organization. And if you check the website, you find some little information. We're just about to establish a new website, which is a little bit more explanatory. But there you find at least the minimum information what you can do. You can become a member of education. You can donate money. You can donate material. You can be part of the whole organization. You can support the project on site in Ghana. There are a lot of opportunities, and even the smallest amount of money that goes into the project would help.
That's great. I want to thank Reiner Sladek for being with us, and on behalf of Education, and again for our listeners, education.com, education.com. Find out more about the wonderful work. There's an expression that goes, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. We can all do some small part to make the world a better and more peaceful place. This is one wonderful way to see that these young women have a future that is very, very bright indeed. And I thank you, Reiner, for being with us and making us aware of the project. And God willing, it will have wonderful, wonderful effect on the lives of those who are blessed to be a part of it.
Thank you very much
for
broadcasting our project and for the talk that we had. And I hope a lot of listeners will hear it and will check the website and see what the progress will be in the future.
I hope so too, Reiner. Thank you so much on behalf of Education. As we end the program today, I want to thank all our listeners for being with us. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send them to me through my website, which is monsignorlisanti.org. That's MSGRLISANTE.org. Personally Speaking is made possible through donations from parishioners like you and me to the annual Catholic Communication Campaign Appeal. Please be generous when asked to give in your parish. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer of Personally Speaking. Our producer is Tony Rossi. Our engineer is Brian Bonifacio. And our audio facility is Studio Center in New York City. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again soon.